You're listening to a Bucks Plus audio production on the Bucks Plus Network.
The biggest voices in the locker room, in the front office, and in the NBA.
Our guest is one of Milwaukee's favorite sons, Darvin Ham.
Giannis has some years still where his jump shot is going to get more consistent, get better. The free throw shooting is going to get better.
This is Courtside with Gail Klappa.
Our guest is the head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Doc Rivers.
Well, you can see people buying in, and it takes a buy-in from your entire team.
Your all-access pass to Milwaukee's team.
Here in Milwaukee, we call him the people's mayor. Our guest, Bucks forward, Bobby Portis.
A hard worker, blue-collar guy, so blue-collar guy in a blue-collar city.
Now, here's your host, Gail Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gail Klappa, and this is Courtside. The countdown is on. In just a few days, the picture will be set. Another NBA season will be in the record books. In Milwaukee and across the U.S., playoff fever is rising. So there's no better time to focus on the Bucks and on the state of play across the NBA. Our special guest tonight has a unique perspective, a bird's eye view from the league office in New York. Mark Tatum is the Deputy Commissioner and Chief Operating Officer of the NBA. He's a man with a plan. And Mark joins us tonight here on Courtside. Mark, great to visit with you. Thanks so much for sitting down with us.
Gail, great to be with you again.
Well, Mark, the Bucks are keeping your statisticians busy updating the record books. As you know, in just the past week, Doc climbed the list of winningest coaches in NBA history, and Giannis, my goodness, posted a stat line never before achieved by an NBA player. Your thoughts?
Oh, it's remarkable to see Doc and Giannis continue to cement their legacies, Gail. It's remarkable that Doc was, you know, people forget he was an all-star as a player, but I think what he'll be most remembered for is his legendary coaching career of more than 20 seasons and counting. And he's won an NBA title. He's earned the respect of his peers. And he's such a fantastic leader, and I think one of the all-time greatest coaches to ever coach the game. So to be able to see Doc continue to move up that ladder in terms of all-time regular season wins, and he's got, you know, George Karl in his sights now too. Mm-hmm. I think he's only 17 wins behind George Karl for number six all-time, and so it's incredible to watch Doc. And then as for Giannis, you know, he is on a Hall of Fame path clearly. Being an NBA champion, a Finals MVP with 9 consecutive All-Star selections, 2 MVP awards, Defensive Player of the Year award, and he's having yet another MVP-like season, second in the league in scoring, doing something. He puts up the 35, 20, and 17 last week. By the way, I was at the Bucks Heat game 2 days later, where he then put up another 36-point triple-double, and I got to watch that in person, back-to-back 35-point-plus triple-doubles. Like, you know, it's remarkable to watch him play and to watch Doc coach. It's such a fun team to watch.
Amen. Well, Mark, as you well know, the playoffs now looming large. And this year, there will be, I think, an interesting mix of veteran teams and young teams battling it out. In your view, and I know it's been a goal of every major sports league, has the NBA achieved true parity, do you think?
Well, I think we're thrilled about the level of competition that we're seeing league-wide. And if you look at the data, Gail, this is the first time under our current playoff format, which goes back to the early 1980s, that teams ranked 4-8 by record in a conference are within a half game of each other at this point in the season. Mm-hmm. So look at, you know, Denver, the Clippers, the Warriors, Minnesota, and Memphis, all within a half game of each other. And this is only the second time under that current playoff format that the teams ranked 3-8 by record in a conference are within 2 games of each other. So, wow. You know, all the way from 3-8 within 2 games of each other. So and I think when you look at the play-in tournament, there's no doubt that that has created even more drama in competition because 19 out of the 20 seeds, with 4 games left to go in the season, 19 of the 20 seeds are still yet to be determined. And that is remarkable parity, I think, where if you're a fan in each one of these markets, you think that your team has an opportunity to win, and you do. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, really remarkable. And seeing that combination of young talent mixed with the performances of some of the, you know, the LeBrons, the Steph Curry, it's really creating a lot of excitement in the league right now.
Yeah, for sure. And Mark, speaking of excitement and speaking of down-to-the-wire games, the Bucks, as you know, are in a heated battle with the Pistons and the Pacers for seeding in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, without a doubt. And it's going to be, this last week will determine a lot. It'll determine whether the Bucks can finish 4, 5, or 6. And I think that will then determine who they're going to have to play in the Eastern Conference. Clearly, the Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder have really sat atop their respective conferences for the majority of the season, and they've set the bar. But I think, as you know, Gail, the playoffs is a whole different level of intensity. The Bucks have been there before, having recently won a championship, and the Celtics are trying to go back-to-back. We've had 6 different champions in the last 6 seasons, and if that trend continues this year, it would actually be the first time ever with 7 different champions in a 7-season span. So, but the Bucks, are looking to, get into that discussion again and win yet another championship here. So I think the Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be incredibly exciting, and I think the Western Conference playoffs are going to be exciting too. But I can't wait for playoff basketball, and I know a lot of fans around the world feel the same way as I do.
Yeah, for sure, Mark. And Mark, the style of play continues to evolve across the league. Many nights, as you know, we're seeing teams put up 25, 30, even 40 three-point shots. Mark, in your view, is this evolution that we're seeing good for the game?
Gil, I think the game is great to watch today. Teams are really never out of it, is what we're seeing. Over the last 10-year period, there has been a consistent increase in three-point attempts, but it's really leveled out around 34 to 35 per team over the past 4 seasons. This year, we're seeing a slight uptick in three-point attempts per game versus last year. But what I think many people would be surprised to hear is that the percentage of shots in the paint and around the basket are exactly the same as they were 20 years ago.
Really?
So they are exactly the same. The real shift we're seeing are long two-point attempts becoming three-point attempts. So around the basket, same percentage of shots, but the two-point attempts are becoming three-point attempts. And we don't view that as overly harmful to the quality of play, especially when the players are hitting these three-point shots at a very high rate. And so to me, I think it creates excitement. It showcases the extraordinary skill of today's players to be able to hit that three-point shot at the rates that they're hitting it at. And I also think there's a great diversity of play too in the game, Gail. So look at a Giannis, right? Look at a Jokic. Look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like these are 3 MVP candidates who are not pure three-point shooters. They're not three-point shooters at all.
Right.
So you have this diversity, and quite frankly, again, the leading MVP candidates in the league right now are not three-point specialists. They're far from it. And so that's what I love about the game is the diversity that you're seeing across the game today.
Mark, perhaps an off-the-wall question. Has the Board of Governors given any serious thought to instituting a 4-point play?
Not at all, Gail, not at all. We do have a competition committee that we have that includes all stakeholders, including NBA governors, coaches, general managers, and players, and there's been no serious discussions at all around a 4-point play at this time.
Mark, let's talk for a moment about what is probably the toughest job in the NBA, officiating. Tell our listeners, if you will, about how you train and monitor the game performance of the officials.
Yeah, they do have the most difficult job in all the world. They're the most scrutinized employees, I think, anywhere in the world. And let me just start by saying, I think our referees and everyone at the Replay Center here in Secaucus, New Jersey, they all do a tremendous job. They have a very difficult job, and they get the overwhelming majority of calls right. We grade them on calls and non-calls every single game. And like I said, they are highly scrutinized. But we have to make sure that our referees have the necessary resources to learn, improve, and develop. That's a priority for us. And so we have a referee development program And we're committed to supporting that next generation of referees who are looking to gain hands-on training and experience to prepare themselves for careers as NBA officials. Additionally, the NBA's Referee Engagement and Performance System app offers league referees evaluation, training, development support. It allows them to watch, to analyze, to share, to save, to categorize and comment on different plays. And so, you know, while our referees are the best in the world at what they do, they're not perfect, and we understand that. And we're very transparent as a league about the calls that they miss. That's why we provide the last two-minute reports each day. It's important to know that we acknowledge incorrect calls and strive for improvement, and our referees want to get better as well. So they go through extensive evaluation. We have observers in arenas. We're watching every game. We're providing feedback to them on an ongoing basis, and they're making real-time adjustments as they go.
Very interesting. And are you pleased with how the coaches' challenge is working out, or are there any changes you'd like to see in the rules around these challenges?
We are pleased with it. You know, our number one priority is to get the calls right. And by and large, I'd say we do that very efficiently. So we're pleased at how everything has been going as it relates to the coaches' challenges. But we always are looking for ways to explore our ultimate goal of advancing the game by improving call accuracy, streamlining game flow, and increasing decision-making transparency. So as an example, you know, the G League continues to serve as a testing ground for us as we look to look at modifying and creating new rules that could provide data for the competition committee for us to evaluate. And during this past G League season, a coach's challenge could be utilized to trigger an instant replay review of most called fouls and violations. And this is meant to further align, you know, that practice with the primary goal of the coach's challenge, which is to reduce the likelihood of an officiating error, particularly during a critical moment of the game. So, you know, those are the things that we're looking at. But we like the way that the coach's challenge is being applied today in the NBA, but we're always looking to improve it.
And, Mark, we've heard some talk about the league studying the potential use of AI to help improve officiating. Your thoughts?
Well, there's no doubt that AI and technology in general is going to be transformational for our game, both on the court and off the court. I'd say in terms of officiating, we're already using AI to track the ball trajectory when reviewing goaltending calls at our replay center. That's something that we implemented this year. We also leverage AI to generate automated highlights in real time. We're using it to instantly translate play-by-play commentary into multiple languages around the world and to track every movement that every NBA player makes in every game, amongst several other ways that we're using AI. So we're only scratching the surface when it comes to the use of AI and technology, but we know that it's going to play an essential role in how we really hyper-personalize the live game experience for our fans, how it affects potential training of players and performance, recovery. Those are the kinds of ways that we're really thinking about AI and technology and incorporating it into the game.
So, Mark, soon will we have an AI-trained bot in the NBA office?
it depends on what to do what. But yes, we're definitely using AI internally as well. We have different bots internally, but there are so many applications and so many uses of it. But I actually think the most impactful use is going to be how to, as I talked about, hyper-personalize and customize the experience. So if you're a fan and we're going to train AI to know as much about you as a fan, and then we're going to deliver content to you how you want it, in the way that you want it, and I think that's going to be one of the biggest applications of AI.
Mark, one of the big NBA stories over the past few months was the signing of the new broadcast and streaming rights deal, an agreement that kicks in next season. Big dollars are involved. Some changes are coming in how fans can watch the game. I'd love for you to just quickly summarize the high points of what is clearly a huge step for the NBA.
Yeah, well, thank you, Gail. I think we're well-positioned to enter this new era of the streaming world. And so with this new partnership, every NBA game will be available on a streaming service. We'll have five times more games on broadcast television as well, which consistently delivers these large audiences for premium live sports. So So while we believe that live game viewership continues to remain important, engagement on non-traditional media is equally important. So through social media, we continue to reach billions of people worldwide. And these new partnerships with Disney, NBC Universal, and Amazon Prime Video, really the reason they were attracted to us is because of our ability to reach and deliver a highly coveted young and global audience. And those platforms also recognize the influence that our players have on pop culture and the global reach that they have. You know, every single one, as I mentioned, of our nationally televised games down in the U.S. will be available on Prime Video, Peacock, and ESPN's new flagship DTC service. Those platforms will also distribute those games in key international markets. So if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, for example, you can watch every U.S. nationally televised games on Prime Video, and that's just going to make our game much more accessible, much more global, which were top priorities of ours in this new streaming world.
And Mark, the dollars involved were eye-popping, and congratulations on the revenue coming into the NBA.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was, you know, $77 billion over the next 11 years. And again, I think that speaks to the very attractive audience that we create of NBA fans who are that coveted audience around the world.
Mark, where I grew up, I don't think we could count that high.
Well, you and I grew up in the same neighborhood then.
Amen. Well, last year when you and I had an opportunity to visit, Mark, we talked about the league certainly considering expanding, but only, you mentioned, after the new broadcast rights deal was in place. Can you update us now on your thinking about potential expansion?
Yeah, you know, we just got those deals done, you know, within the last year. And so we're still in the early stages, Gail, at the league office, of really evaluating the benefits of expansion and what that process would entail. And so we're certainly going through that process, but taking a very deliberate look and approach at the benefits of doing that.
And, of course, you've seen the value of existing NBA franchises, Mark, just skyrocket over the past few years. Boston Celtics, for example, now being sold for north of $6 billion. Where do you think, honestly, the valuations go from here?
Well, it's a great question. I don't know where they go. What I will tell you is I think we feel very optimistic about the future. You know, the average NBA team valuations have grown nearly 20% annually over the past decade, which is remarkable. It's really outperformed every other, the S&P, the New York Stock or NASDAQ, the Dow Jones. And so people, I think, are viewing the NBA right now as a growth stock, and you're seeing that in the reflection of their valuations because of something I talked about earlier, our ability to deliver a young, diverse, and global fan base. It's that global opportunity of our league that I think makes us a sought-after investment. The fact that our games are broadcast in 214 countries and territories, you know, we have more than 2.5 billion followers on social media. Nearly a third of our players now were born outside the United States, including, you know, former two-time MVPs like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Basketball continues to be the fastest-growing sport in the world, the number one participation sport in the U.S., and the number two sport globally. So there are increasingly no limits to the places where people want to engage with the NBA. And NBA franchises are highly desirable because they provide that long-term stability and attractive returns. And it's a platform that has done well even in challenging economic cycles. So, you know, I think that's why people are investing in NBA franchises. That's why the value of those franchises are going up. And I think that the global opportunity of the NBA will give us even more upside to grow our fan base, to grow our revenues, to grow our engagement. And I think that's what will drive and continue to drive the valuations of our franchises.
Mark, you appropriately mentioned the worldwide appeal of the NBA. Is there any serious consideration of creating a European NBA?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you may have seen a couple of weeks ago coming out of our board meeting, NBA board meeting, that we announced along with FIBA that we are going to move forward with the next phase of potentially launching a new league in Europe. You know, less than 5% of the world's population is here in the United States.
Right.
So the biggest opportunities for growth, quite frankly, exist outside the United States, with 95% of the population being outside the United States. And so we're looking at the potential of exploring a new league in Europe because we just see a tremendous opportunity to accelerate the growth of the game across Europe, where there's already a rich tradition for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about half of our international players in the NBA today, or 15% of all NBA players, are European, including two of the last three winners of the MVP award in Giannis and Jokic. So we know there's a huge basketball affinity for the game of basketball in Europe, and we think there's a tremendous opportunity there. You know, but it's not only in Europe. Last weekend, we tipped off the fifth season of our Basketball Africa League, and we're playing our first ever game to Morocco. And they're very passionate about the game in Morocco. I'm actually headed to Morocco this week and can't wait to see the excitement from the fans there firsthand. So I just think we're just scratching the surface, Gail, of the NBA and our global prospects, and we are looking to do more things in more places around the world.
It'll be really interesting, Mark, to see those plans unfold. And Mark, finally, as we wrap up our great conversation, bringing that conversation back home, what's your take on our Milwaukee Bucks as we head into the playoffs?
Well, I'm so excited to see how the Bucks close out this season here in the last week. Like I said, the Bucks are still playing for seeding, so it'll be very interesting to see who they match up with in the first round. Obviously, this will be their ninth consecutive year in the playoffs, and I know how motivated Giannis and the rest of the team is to get back to the finals. Of course, I've been following the Damian Lillard situation. Hopefully, he can make a full recovery soon and potentially get back on the court to help the team during the playoffs. But I'm so excited. You know, as a basketball fan, this is the most exciting time of the year for all of us basketball fans, and we can't wait for the NBA playoffs to tip off and wish the Milwaukee Bucks the best of luck.
Fingers crossed. And Mark, always so great to sit down with you and chat about our favorite pastime. And you've been listening to Courtside on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Subscribe today on Bucks.com, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So long, everybody.